Thank you so much for this opportunity. What a delight for me to be here with you guys today. God bless you for such a privilege. And we can just share a message with these great people here at Lakeside. I've had a great time getting to know your staff. Great to see you over there working at the school. And I've asked Morgan, I think, to be here at his dad. I've got to see her yet. Debbie, I had a delight. So, Debbie, and Robert, all your staff. Thank you. the matter is, it's stupid little lyrics, don't worry, be happy, it was actually written years before. It's actually written by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, he's one of the prayers, except he's twisting a little bit. He says, be happy, don't worry, and thank you, God, for that moment. That's the other secret of it. Be a band about you, because the power of it is really good band. And guys, listen, when we look at this passage of Scripture, Philippians 4, 4 through 7, what I want you to recognize is happiness is more than just being a leader. Trying to make yourself feel better by just sitting in the song, well, there is a real formula for having true happiness. And then, boy, it's a more happiness for us involved thanksgiving that we'll be talking about in this morning. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible version. I'll be going back and forth to see some different versions. But this morning, we'll look at Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And let's see if we can discover how to be happy and to have joy and peace in our life during this Christmas and Thanksgiving season. The Bible says that if Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, it said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, the Lord is with you. Again, for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Paul depends on his formula by saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, what do you know? This isn't a suggestion. This is more than a suggestion. It's actually a command. And in the original Greek, it's in the imperative sense. It says, be joyful, rejoice. Never stop rejoicing. Continue to rejoice over and over again. It should be a characteristic of your life. And all people, we as Christians, we can be the most joyous in the world. And yet, I look at the church sometimes, and I find in the church sometimes, I find people who are these things like that. They're like Christian viewers. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know, we the two, and we the two is this little bit donkey, and who is just always negative. It's pure. We have Christian viewers all over the church. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, you see them coming, and you act like you don't see them, and you try to look around and find who you can have another conversation with, because you know, there is something that is diatribe of negativism. They're just going to tell you how bad they feel, what body parts are hurting. It's just never anything that sucks the life out of you. I mean, I'm telling you, you know people I'm talking about. Nobody is here. I mean, just somewhere else, you don't have those kind of people to talk about. I guarantee you, I know what I could do with you right now. People that are just like, no, Lord, you know better than to ask the question, how are you doing? Because you get that saddle up that sits in your tummy, right? But you know those people, they just bring life to the room. I mean, when they come in the room, it's just like life walking into the room. They're just positive, they care more about you than they do about themselves. No matter who's in the room, they want to connect with everybody, they want to know them, and the stress on your life keeps you from deciding in what else place they come. I believe that's what God would want for all of us. If anything, obviously the scripture says they don't know us by our love, but they should be. We of all people, when the world looks at us, we should be characterized by the faith of rejoicing. As a matter of fact, Paul says we should stand out in the midst of the dark world. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. And then about Anthony says this in the third answer where he says, do everything. And I like it out of there. Do that because the Paul says it. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you might become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, and equipped in the third generation. In which you, listen to this, in which you shine like stars in the universe. I know about you, but would you like to be characterized at the end of your life? They just talk about you, so you might be just shining like a star. No matter how dark things are, you just shine like a star. I would be like that. I don't know about you. And Paul gives us the formula here. He says, I will show you how to be a star, how to be that rejoicing, joyful Christian. And he does it, and I can't say more, but he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let joy characterize your life. And he says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all, for the Lord is near. Now, in the ancient other translations and IV, you'll see they use the word meekness. Let your meekness be known to all. I like both of them, forbearance. I like meekness. So oftentimes we misdefine meekness. When you think about someone who's kind of left naked behind, that people look at you eye to eye, thing that you actually mentioned, Caroline, that you have said you're one of the things you're honoring the second, like I invited you to see at the table of Dallas Colonel in the Air Force. And he allowed you to go, and it's incredible. Governor Gall was entertaining, the people everywhere, but behind the tarmac, everywhere was all these military equipment, and jets, and planes, and all these kind of different things they use. I love to see all of that, but don't put the rain in prison. They had the child jail license for one of his videos. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I've seen it on TV. If you guys have seen the Christmas commercials and all that, but I've never seen it in person. They did not miss it. They didn't attend it. They were walking around and they would stop and they would let you walk up in a handler, would let you walk up and pet them. And literally, I had to reach up and touch the shoulder of one of these great men. And they just ripped it. I mean, they were really tough. If you run through your pictures, just the bone of, you know, what is able, but you can feel the kinetic power in this. That's one of the things that the Lord is blessing. And then I noticed that there was a little quarter inch piece of lace that ran from the front end, and then all the way back to the left hand of one of the nasty old copies of the lace, and the right hand, and it was a single quarter. Go back and great power. Go back and amazing the Lord. They could have ripped away if they wanted to, but instead they yielded to the Bible. And because of that, they were able to do something that they wanted to promise them to do. That's the word for this morning, where it says, let your meekness be known to all the Lord. You have to recognize that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit has been deposited in you. You and I have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, but it must be brighter, it must be allowed to be used as the Father says to use it. I mean, we the scriptures tell us that Jesus told his disciples, he said, I must go away, and I'm going to send a comforter. And later on, he said, you're going to be even greater for me than I have been to the comforter. Not the power that you have, but it must be guided. It must be put in the hands of the Lord. Let your meekness be known to all the couple of boys in your community. One, maybe you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You have the deposit going through your salvation in you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit on you, too. If you're not letting the Lord reign in your life, you'll never be a joyful Christian if you go out on your own and try to live life alone. Jesus said, I'm the way that you can life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And John 10, 10, he said, I come that you might have life and that you might have an abundant life. You will not have an abundant, joyful life unless you recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the way of the Lord and the way of the Lord. Even Jesus in the garden, he said, when he said, could you eat? He said, just cut my phone. But what did he say? No, my name is Jesus. I want you to know, if you want the real secret of joy in life, if you want to be a rejoicing Christian, you want to be a star that shines in the universe, in this dark world we live in, you better let the Lord be the reins of your life. You better listen to Jesus Christ's scriptures. The steps of the life is already from the Lord. He has a great time to your life. He wants to use you in measurable ways. He wants to release the power of the Holy Spirit to do incredible work and to bring you great joy and purpose in life. But you better give up the numbers. If you don't give up the way, you do nothing more than sin over sin and this belief that you can do something. The last verse of the day, Paul says to us here in this chapter, don't be anxious for anything. And he says, rejoice in the Lord with all those who do not say rejoice. Let your meekness be known to all the Lord's men and the Lord's men. That's why it seems to be used. And he goes on to say, okay, my God, I want to be a star in your universe. I can't wait to let go of the remedies. He says, but there's got to be more than that. You know how tough my life is, Lord. How do you expect me to be joyful? In fact, he says, well, they need to turn up. But here's the rock fall. They need to turn up and not be. You recognize the other thing. Isn't it going on? We have to fear the supply chain, the kids' kids, the stuff we're looking for Christmas. You don't know what's going on in my family. If you're telling me you're anxious for nothing, that word anxious in the Greek, it's even a great word. It's it literally means tearing apart the anxiety that tears your heart. It carries a mental image that you want to 67 years old. That's how old I am. I know I look old, but I'm only 67 years old. But never in my life did I see something like this.
I'm worried that tomorrow those things all about it. Yes, we need thankful for the past, but all that's given to the perspective. But the amount of what we're thankful for what we're thankful for is when the last time on the first of the month or the 15th of the month, you walk into your door and say, just want to stop in the gate and say, thank you for my faith yesterday. It's very good to do that. Why? Because we think we deserve that. I work hard for that. I earned this faith that I deserve this faith that I deserve. And then again, I'm just going to say that we're hard. Everything we have is undeserved. I want you to know that you didn't get to choose life. God gave you life. You need to choose what family you will be born into. You need to choose what country you will be born into. You need to choose the way you look or the way you talk. Listen, you don't have to God. God chose it all for you. As a matter of fact, if He hadn't chosen you, you would have been able to choose Him as your Lord and Savior. At the end of the day, you and I should have a perspective of recognizing we all these blessings in life, we don't deserve it. We have a thankful heart. And I want you to know, every star that I've known is sown in earth and in the community that always has this perspective of an awe of all that has been given. Maybe you need to change your perspective and look at who you are in comparison to who what God has done for you. You will deserve it. You deserve hell. You and I will deserve judgment. But God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has given us the opportunity to have eternity with Him. If you want to be a star of the times in the universe, most of you are rejoicing Christmas. We also send our Lord pleasure to you. Let put your life in the hands of the Lord. Let Him control your life. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be directed by the Lord so that you might honor Him and you might have that abundant life. If you ask, you have, unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit, but not only that, let your meekness be known to all as you put your life in His hands, but also the suffering that goes real to the temptation of looking at the negative instead to a heart of thankfulness, realizing that no matter how bad it gets, I deserve much worse. You get the attitude of thankfulness, and then you'll be able to go to the Lord and receive any request you can know that He's a good, good God. Again, you want to know the Bible for this? Whatever you've done all those things, all that stuff talks about in your soul. It says, when you do that, when you have an attitude of thanksgiving, when you have had a love perspective, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you've allowed Him to reign in your life, and you have a prayer life that is unlimited, and you believe in trust that God is really what's good, and you're going to have a piece of that that you can see. All the things that's going to guard your heart in the name of Christ Jesus. If you were to call most Americans today, most of them are most in life, they want to be two words over and over, growing into the country. Most people, yeah, they think they want stuff, but they'll soon find out that doesn't bring joy. They'll soon find out that doesn't bring peace. But they really want most in life, they want to be happy, they want to have joy. And they want to have peace about their life. They don't want to live in stress. They want joy and peace. And here's the interesting thing. The start of this text, it says rejoice. Joy is an existence. But it's all together. It's such a good thing. But there's a piece of trend to a believer is unlike any other. And that's the piece of knowing. Because no matter what happens in this life, we're in this life. There's a life that's promised us in heaven. My mother was a strong influence in my life, a she taught me the word of God, and you know, she on the last thing, the word of God, even as a pastor, her Bible, the title of Texas, she sat with her because she was such a student of the word, and she would teach me the word of God, and she would have a message from the Lord, send it to her, tell me about that, and every time I go to college, she would take breakfast, and I'd sit down, and she'd say, my family is not true. She wanted to be a Christian. She wanted to know people in Christ. And her funeral was a whole row of taking them through the work, talking to her funeral, but the entire Republic of the United States got to church. But she's been going into prison, working women to Christ. Students came back from what she saw, they got to the new high school or whatever they call it, and they changed their name. And then also, when they were to college, she was a college professor. remember there was such a unique place, and what can I do? I was really amazing, such a way to lose my mind. And I'm going to put it out loud, and I became afraid, but I just think so too. There are so many people who can help us for the team, and she's one of the members that they can come. But I don't even know if I can prepare a sermon or do a sermon service without her looking at it, but she's been my mentor. Lord, thank you for this. I'm so hard to the Lord. Lord, if I don't do anything right, give her more life. Give her a different impact. And I was interrupted in my prayer box, and I'm just going to make a sermon. And she looked at me in the last word of her presentation. Why do you pray in so much to Jesus in a place on the she knew that she lived her life in the kingdom of the Father and lived an obedient life. She lived a good life in the kingdom of the Father. She just followed a very established church. She left the background of her life. You go to this established church, Washington. You go to Amy, you go to Robert Lee Hospital, and they'll talk about how they hired her. She was a lovely person. 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 She knew her entire perspective of life. She was living for the kind of development of his life. So, when you grow up, some of these people do. The question here is today, do you have any people that you have to do? I remember walking down that house with the Lord, and I was looking at those people just to be strong over the loss of their loved ones, to know and yet to come. And then at the end of the hallway, there was a question that was going on. People singing. Do you have the deposit of the Holy Spirit guaranteeing your salvation? Have you invited Jesus to come into your life? It is your only way. This morning we're going to pass this to come to follow with your man. There are others in our house that will be here, and I invite you to come. If you don't have that peace, your interest is being torn apart. The only way for the Holy Spirit is to come to the we're looking at a world problem, and we're letting the world become the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you know, you can come down to the altar and you know the Christ is here. I'm going to go to the next one. 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 I'm going to go to the next one I'm going to go to the next slide. 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 I'm going to go to